Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
With all my heart, with all my mind, I will lead to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my heart, with all my mind, I pledge to honor. Glory to God. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. We're just going to go straight into the word this morning. Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear with them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Glory to God. So there are times in our lives where we tend to get so busy with many things and we're totally distracted. And our attention and our gaze is usually in those moments not on God. I want us to pay attention today. I usually would encourage us that when you come to church, just have a temporary divorce from your phone. Just divorce yourself from your phone. Except you are using it to check scriptures and make notes. It will not be the right thing to do during service like this if you're chatting or replying chats, liking and commenting everywhere. So let's just focus, and the Lord will continue to bless us in Jesus' name. So this letter was written by God, handed over to Jesus, to John, his servant, to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And God looked at each church and gave them their rating, their score sheets, analyzing how they are performing and giving them an appraisal so that they will know where they stand. And one of the striking things that is said to this church is that you have left your first love. In other words, the kind of relationship we used to have before is not what we're having again now. Something is wrong. In other words, God is saying that I paid attention to the early days of your walk with me as a church. I paid attention to the things that mattered most to you and how you committed yourself to me. Your devotion, your passion, your ability to hold on regardless of everything. He said, I still see that you are not able to be patient with people who are misbehaving and all that, but yet in everything you are doing, I look critically and I can see that there is the dimension of love that you had towards me initially that is no longer there. For some of us, we have that kind of work with God where you had a first love. You got born again and you were excited about the things of God, the passion of God burning in your heart, your soul, so fervent for God. Then down the line, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line or more, your love for God begins to dwindle. It begins to go dim. No passion, no devotion, no commitment, nothing any longer. And God is saying, I know your works. In other words, I have been taking record from day one. I'm not careless to just see that people get born again and I leave them. God knew the day you got born again when you got serious. God knows those that have no walk with him today and will start a new walk with him. And he's interested in giving you a fresh start and a beautiful experience. And he knows those that have gone so cold. Another time he said to the church, he said to them, you are neither cold nor hot. He said, because you are neither cold nor hot, I would that you were cold or hot. It would have been better to know you are hot or you're cold so that I will know what to do with you. He said, but because you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. That means you are not useful for anything. Please listen to me today. Pay attention, because I believe that somebody's life is about to shift. The spiritual temperature of your life will move from where it is in the name of Jesus. God is about to bring a special revival in your heart, because as we climax the end of age, the coming of Jesus Christ, many things will begin to happen in the world. And the Bible says one of the critical things that will happen, it said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It said, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, I'm watching carefully to see those that will endure to the end. Iniquity will abound. That means people will conceive wickedness in their heart and plan the strategy on how to execute it. And people will live a godless life. They don't care about God anymore. People come to the point where they say, nobody can tell me what I'm supposed to do. I know God for myself in my room. It doesn't matter. Some people just say, you're not supposed to correct me. God is in my heart, is in my conscience by myself. Things are many things people say. Sometimes it looks like it is true, but it is half truth. It's not complete. So actually, when you start manifesting or living like that, but you used to have a good relationship with God and now you blank God out, you're no longer interested in the voice of God, you don't care whether God is speaking or he's not speaking, I can run my life by myself, it is my life, I know what I'm supposed to do, nobody should tell me anything, you automatically ghost God. To ghost the person is simply to lose connection and communication without any reason. I can't just explain why you're not picking my calls, you're not responding to my chats, I'm trying to get through you everywhere and you're just not responding. And that's what many people, the kind of relationship they have with God today, that is what it looks like. I'll tell you why that kind of relationship cannot take you far, and I trust that God will give us bearing in today's service in the name of Jesus. Every time people go to the doctor and going for a checkup or something, one of the things that the doctors will look out for is signs and symptoms. So they will come and they bring a stethoscope, they check, you know, your pressure or whatever. They have a thermometer to check your temperature. The doctor is looking out into your eyes to see things and they're asking you questions. How do you feel? Your taste bud? Is it bitter? Is it normal? You know, how have you been feeling? Headache, partial, you know, all those questions. Why? Signs and symptoms that people manifest, it's proof that there is something that you can draw inference from, that this particular thing is present in this person's life if this person has this kind of sign or symptom. So if I notice that the person has constant headache and they have bitter taste bud and they have lost appetite, I probably will start saying, are you sure it's not typhoid or something or malaria or whatever it is? All those things have signs and symptoms. The same way spiritual lukewarmness, dryness, coldness, it has signs and what? Symptoms. Just as you have medical doctors, you also have people who are priests and they are spiritual doctors. And a good priest is able to diagnose, to tell when a person is not functioning effectively. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, if you want to know whether people are healthy or not, it is the priest you take them to. If you want to confirm the state of people's health, the priest is the one that will confirm and say, okay, look at this, look at this. This one has a scar, this one has epilepsy, this one has a... Take this person out of the camp, keep this person here. It's the priest. So as a priest, one can discern people's spiritual condition. The condition of your spirit man matters a lot, because man is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Just as life is spiritual and things just happen around you. They say, the person woke up like this. We don't know what happened. He slept in the night. He woke up dumb. He slept in the night. All those things. Life is spiritual. So also, you are a spirit being. And you have to ensure that you invest so much in your spirit man. You have to invest so much so that when God looks at you, he will be glad and excited that all of the investment of the blood of Jesus on you is yielding so much result. Because being saved alone is not what God is looking out for. You were saved to good works. You were saved to a glorious life. You were saved to a powerful life. There is a quality of life that God expects from the believer. People go to church today and they are very comfortable with an environment that is just ordinary, nothing serious. Just sing for us, or just tell us one or two things, or tell us the things we like to hear. The Bible says in the last days they will heap to themselves teachers, because they have itching ears. They know what they want to hear. If the teacher does not tell them what they want to hear, they pick their Bible and they get out of there. And they say, he's not my kind. He's not my kind of pastor, because he's not telling them what they want to hear. But the Bible makes us understand that there will be preachers of the truth, those that will look at you and tell you the truth, because your salvation of your soul and the impact you were designed to make is more important than your business, your career, your work, your marriage, and every other thing. Life makes no sense if you have lost your spiritual vigor. Life makes no sense if you have lost your spiritual consciousness. You must understand that you are here for a purpose. You are not here by yourself. You are not here to just live, sleep, and die. God is not that foolish to create human beings and keep them. They just live their lives anyhow, go marry, have children, sleep, and die. No, there is an eternal purpose attached to your life. You were created unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, you are God's workmanship, created unto good works that God has already ordained before you were born. There's an assignment attached to your life. The worst thing that can ever happen to you in life is to live your life on earth and not stay at the center of your calling. I want to pray for somebody under the sound of my voice, that God will keep you at the center of your calling. God will continue to keep you at the center of the purpose of your existence. Everything that has moved anyone out of the place of your calling, distractions of life, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the many things that people try to pursue, I declare you will not be pursuing things at the expense of your soul. You will not be pursuing things at the expense of your purpose. You will not pursue things at the expense of your real existence. In the name of Jesus, two things: you are either merely existing or living. To live without a purpose is existence. Existence does not make sense. It is living for a purpose that counts. And that's why there are many people on the street, face of the street, you know, go around on the streets of the earth rather. They're just living. They just, we drink, we eat today, tomorrow we die. Let's just continue. That's not life. That's not life. The Bible says after David had served God's purpose in his generation, he put his leg on the bed and he slept. Die. In other words, he had to serve God's purpose. For Jesus, he said, for this purpose, the Son of Man was made manifest, that he would destroy the works of darkness. When Paul finished, he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. There is laid for me the crown of righteousness that God has kept. When Peter was going, Peter said, Jesus told me that I will put off this tent one day. And he said, now the arrival of my death is near. I am going to be poured as a drink offering. I have finished my assignment. Many people live on the face of planet earth, no consciousness of that purpose, no consciousness of a spiritual life that is worthy of emulation, or a legacy that they will transfer to another generation. And the Bible says one generation will praise God to another generation. What legacy are you going to transfer? What impact will you make? The kind of life you are living now, if God looks from heaven, is he smiling or regretting? Because God said in Genesis, he repented me that I created man. That means, how did we get here? How did mortals that I create fraternize so much with fallen angels? And they started producing this kind of humans. Why? What is this? And the word he used, he said, he repented God that he created man. May it not be that in your case, every time God looks at you, it is headache that he's having. You say, how can God have headache? You don't understand. Go and read the Bible. You see that God responds and talks in the Bible like he has emotions. He can be grieved. Some things can happen and he's saying, what is this? How? May my life not be an embarrassment to God. May my life not be an embarrassment to his purpose. May it not be that I am living, I'm going directly opposite what he has called me to do. I will not wake up one day seeing him face to face and bow my head in shame. You didn't say amen to that for yourself. Signs that you have started drawing back from God. Number one, I talked about two in the second. Number one, from here for this service, prioritizing the world over God. In James chapter 4 verse 4, it says friendship with the world is enmity with God. For Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, other things shall be added unto you. You know, people are pursuing food, what they will eat, how they will survive, how they will live. They fail to understand that it's appointed unto man once to die. After death is judgment. Is it wrong to pursue for your daily bread? No. Is it wrong to get a job? No. Is it wrong to pursue your business? No. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Life without seeking God first is a waste of time. Don't forget, you didn't create yourself here. How many of you know how you got here? You don't even know the nights were conceived. You don't even know what happened 1 minute after you were born. For several months after you were born, you don't know what happened. They gave you a name and told you it is your name. How do you know your name is your name? They told me. How do you know the day you were born is the day you were really born? They told you. And that person comes on the face of planet Earth, grows and outgrows God. And he's beginning to direct God on how he wants to live his life. Is he not my life? You have life. Can you dictate whether you wake up tomorrow morning? Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Because many times we are not conscious of the fact that we are human beings created by God in his image to fulfill a purpose here on earth. We just want to live. And God is saying, no, you cannot live like that. That's not the kind of life. I have an assignment. You're supposed to look forward to the manufacturer and ask, why, what am I here for? The encounter Paul had, the next thing that came out of his mouth, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? In other words, anywhere I am, I want to be doing something. If I'm serving the devil, I want to serve him passionately. If you are serving the devil and you're not passionate, the devil is not, doesn't even like you. There are many people, you cannot, they are not good for the devil, they are not good for God. Those that serve the devil, they are passionate. If a lady really wants to serve the devil, she can sleep like 32 men in a day. It's passion. Excitement, you be bad. If you want to be bad, be bad. Oh, yeah, we regon. What kind of level of badness is this one? Sneaking to a boy's house and hiding. That's not bad. You're not bad. The devil cannot use you. If you want the devil to use you, be very bad. Give him. God says, my son, give me your life. Satan too is saying, give me, let's see what we can do with you. And there is contention for your soul. Why is there a contention for your soul? It's because the value of your soul and the impact that is tied to it. Satan knows that if he handles a person and they totally yield to him, he will do dangerous things. And God knows too that if I hold you and you yield to me, I can turn a nation upside down with one person. And because of that understanding, Satan is fighting to get man. And God is saying, you belong to me. I created you your image. And man is left in between two decisions to choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. If you want to serve the devil and you serve him partially, your punishment in hell will be very high. You better serve him well. Because if we deal with you, you are not meeting targets. They need to kill 30 men. You are killing only two. They need to oppress 90. We are doing small, small. How can he be serving Satan small, small? It's only God that if you even do small, you will not get plenty of reward. Satan, the special compartment in yourself. Anybody that wants to serve the devil should serve the devil well. If you go to an organization, you don't belong to GLO, you don't belong to GT Bank, you don't belong to Access Bank, no one will pay you. If you belong to GLO, Access Bank, any morning when you wake up, where do you go to? All the things you need to do, you will do it. You stay there from 9 o'clock till 5. Is that not? If you belong to this other bank, you cannot be outside the two banks. The bank, one bank is here, one bank is there outside. I say, they will still pay me salary. Mountain, on the fellow, it be my pa, 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 pa. So you better enter one place and stay there and do what they are doing. Follow their protocol, follow their system, follow their patterns, and be committed and devoted. Why? There's no sitting on the fence. Every time Satan creates a neutral ground, it's an opportunity to deceive many people. Is it that here or there? Am I communicating, church? Prioritize. Why your career growth is important, your personal development is important. When they constantly begin to push you outside of God, when they become so more important to you that God doesn't count anymore, something is wrong. And sometimes some people say, I'm really busy, the way I'm really pushing. We have seen in this kingdom high flyers that are serving God. When I mean high flyers, very high flyers, they are influential, they are God chasers, they are advancing the kingdom, they are the ones buying buses to push people to church, they are the ones pushing to build hospitals, they are doing massive things, and yet they create time to have a personal devotion with God. Person no get money, he no get God. Wait till he gets. And even if you get money, your money is not enough, because it cannot please God. The most important thing to God, my son, give me your heart. God does not want your money as much as he wants your heart. God does not want your tithes as much as he wants your heart. God does not want your offerings as much as he wants your heart. God does not want your attendance in church as much as he wants your heart. You can attend church and yet not have a connection with God. Today I came to introduce you to a God who's passionate about loving you. A God who is excited about your commitment and devotion to him. A God who is saying, I am a consuming fire. I want my children to be as hot as fire. A God who is saying, fervent in spirit, devoted to me. That is the kind of God we serve in the church. The world has become so messed up that it has become so terrible that people stay at a neutral point. They are so comfortable and they say, it is my life. No, you don't have a life if you are in God. And if you are with Satan, you also don't have a life. If you are neutral, you are not useful to the two kingdoms. But one kingdom will claim you eventually. And I'm sure that it is the devil, because God has said, I will spit you out of my mouth. Prioritizing worldly things. I prioritize my this. My children are the ones not letting me serve God. It's my business. Yeah. Even in ministry, as we are doing the things we are doing, and sometimes it looks like I'm really very busy. And somebody says, ah, Pastor, you're really very busy. Oh. Eh? The work, I said, there's no work that I'm doing. What am I doing? Why am I busy? People have churches in all the continents in the world. They are not busy. What thing are they do with my life? You are really busy. I don't even want God to hear that. God, I'm not busy. Don't be angry that they say I'm not busy. They have a fish for me. Give me work. Lomiku. Lomibo. Lomi in all the lowing level, lowing with anything that I can be load for. Just take me. Because I really don't want to hear God hear me sounding that I am too busy. That means you are saying you don't need more responsibility. Whenever you're saying, I'm too busy, God, you're saying, which thing they do, which work? Look at, you're just working with an organization, you're too busy. People are managing conglomerates. That is why even if you're a Christian, God cannot give you much, because you're already complaining. You should be saying, God, I can do more, enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my capacity. I can feed nations. I can conquer territories. I can do bigger things. And I know that it looks like my flesh is frail, but empower me with strength in my inner man. Invigorate me. There is more that you want to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Because he said, whatever you say to my ear, that is what I will do to you. And that's why some people are small. They're always weak. They cannot do much. They use their mouth to sentence themselves to a fixed position. You will not sentence yourself wrongly. In the name of Jesus. Number two, spiritual apathy. Signs that you are drawing away. You feel indifferent, uninterested. They say they are going to have something in church. Make them the drum, I beg. Make them the drum for them. Aya. Aya. Go and look at the people that labored for this kingdom that we are in now. The labor of our heroes past. Our fathers that laid the foundation of Christianity for us. Do you know what their lives look like? They died for the gospel. One time they tied one of the apostles. You know, when you tie the leg of somebody to a horse and you are dragging the person like this, and the head and the body and everything, you will meet people in heaven that will surprise you. While you are saying, God, I was so very busy, you will see somebody that on earth, he was able to build companies, organizations, and had like 7 unicorns, and he still served God. And he'll be asking you, what did you do? You say, yes. So let nobody wake up somewhere and say, I am too busy, I am too this, I am too that. Create time. Don't be indifferent about the things of God. Don't be indifferent. Give yourself, give your attention. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he said, give yourself wholly to these things. Why? He says, so that your profiting will show. In other words, if you give yourself and there's no profiting, you are laboring for nothing. Let your profiting show. Let's see the souls you are winning. Let's see the children you are raising. Let's see, those children are complaining that these are my children. And are they serving God? No more complain about children. Complain about children. All the children don't do you go smoker. If you are complaining about children, let's see them that they are established in God. Let's see them that they are rooted in Christ. You are complaining about marriage, that marriage is given. Let's see that that marriage is changing destinies. Anything you are complaining about that is not giving glory to God is a waste of complaint. You are just talking plenty of things. God is not seeing it. Am I communicating, church? There must be that heart. Number 3, sign that you are drifting away from God is spiritual isolation. You now begin to say, you want to isolate yourself. Church is in the heart. Church is in the mind. You know, I don't need to connect with all these plenty people. If I do, God understands me. I do my own personal Bible study. You have your own personal ideology. You now start, I know when isolation starts, Satan will give you a fresh doctrine. Only you will have the doctrine. You now open Instagram channel and YouTube page and start looking for customers. Because you have, isolation is terrible. When the devil wants to destroy a believer, what he will do is to isolate you from other believers. And that's why you see the noise being made by many people around the world, countering Christianity, countering the faith. Many of them don't have churches, they don't have pastors, they don't have anybody they're committed to. They are isolated. The tool with which the devil will destroy you and sell a lie to you. You don't know Satan. Satan can sell a lie. You know when they sell lies to you? When Jesus Christ died and he was raised from the dead, guess what they did? They went to pay the soldiers. You don't understand? They took good money and they looked at the soldiers and said, come. They said, what did you people notice? They said, the man, he rose from the dead. He didn't rise from any dead. Look at where we kept him now. We were there now. He said, shut up. Take money. Tell everybody that his disciples came and they stole his body. Do you understand? They say yes. Do you know till tomorrow? They still peddle that noise. They still believe that it's a lie. The disciples came to steal him because some people were paid to lie. And when the devil wants to pay a person to lie, he will first isolate you, then sell the lie to you. When he sells the lie to you, you will believe a deception. Then you start selling it to others. Isolation is terrible. You cannot practice Christianity in isolation. Sign that somebody is drifting away from God is when they say, it is only me, only my space. There is no church in this world that is good again. It's a lie. There are churches that are still good. Even Elijah the prophet, he came one day and he said, I have killed all the prophets of Baal. There's no prophet anywhere again. And God looked at him and he said, who told you? He said, I have reserved 400, I've been 750 prophets. They have not bowed to Baal one day. They are still people who are preaching the sound gospel. Don't let the devil deceive you. They are still Christians who are serving God in spirit and in truth. I have pastored the church for a while. I have wedded couples, at least in their number, both here and outside here. And 80% of the people that I have wedded, they wedded as virgins. Now Satan, they lie to you. Don't let any devil lie to you. Say, nobody is this. It's a lie. All of them are not pure. They are not pure. They're just pretending. It's a lie. When Pastor Kingsley said it, I didn't believe it very well. I said, until I started wedding people. I said, we'll sit down, we'll talk. Because we have to talk about sexual compatibility during the counseling and many things. When we get there, I said, sit down, they lie where well. Why stupid things, they popular past correct ones? And many people are deceived. They follow it. And many of the times, the husbands of those people confirm, they call Pastor, thank you, God bless him. It's well. I don't want to be surprised, but that's where we are. The devil peddles a lot of lies. He makes everything look like everywhere is black and dark and useless. There are still many people that have made up their mind that they will not bow their knees to Satan. And I came to pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that the Lord will strengthen you. You will not bow your knees to Satan. I say you will not pay allegiance to Satan. In the name of Jesus, we were created for community. We were not created for isolation. The church is done to practice in community. Every time somebody begins to do personal, they say, no, I'm not there. I don't go. No, you cannot be coming to church once in a month. You are not supposed to come to church once in 2 weeks. You are supposed to be in church every Sabbath and every service. The early apostles were going to church. How often? Every day. Day early they met at the temple. But we know you go to work today, or maybe on Monday or Tuesday. Then after going to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, some people Saturday, and when they now give you Sunday free, Satan will now give you work that you have to be washing clothes. What work are you doing that cannot pay dry cleaner to wash your clothes? If you wash the you must come out of that kind of rubbish life. And you need to get angry and say, God, enough is enough. I'm tired of this kind of some work. They are slavery work. You need to come out and say, no, I'm tired of this. Even on Sunday, you now wake up by 12 o'clock and stretch. Even if they say there is 3 o'clock service, you say, sun don't come out. There's an excuse for everything. It's Satan. That's how Satan behaves. He deceives people a lot and give them reasons, all manner of excuse. Number 4, avoiding accountability. Signs that you are drifting away spiritually. Being too shy, walking away from spiritual leaders or close friends that you know that they are on fire and they will question your new behavior. You see Christians that begin to run away from their spiritual friends. Something is wrong with them. They know that this person will question why I'm acting like this. This person will question this my behavior. They begin to drop out. There are signs of spiritual backwardness. Signs that you are isolating. Signs that you are trying to ghost God. You want to just want God not to be at the center. So you don't even want pastor to know anything. Say, but pastor, have you not become church? I've not been saying, I mean, come inside. I've really been very, very busy. Oh. Anytime people say they are busy, you know what I tell myself? Nobody is ever too busy. People are only busy for something that is not important to them. You call somebody and they don't pick your call. You call somebody and they don't pick your call. It's not because they are busy. It's because you are not important in the scheme of things at that moment. There is somebody else that if he calls now, they will pick. You are not priority. And you don't have to be angry if you are not in the square of their influence. It's for a reason. Because if they have to pick everybody's call, some people will die picking calls. The kind of calls they pick on a daily. So if they don't pick your call, it's not because they don't want to pick. It is because you are there. There are some people that are more important. Their discussion, their agenda, and what they have to offer is more important than you. And like I said, you don't have to be angry. You too, build your life and build your capacity. You will realize. We're like, is it this bad? Girls, take girls. Leave these men. Because the men that came to you, they were angels. I know they must have been handsome looking guys. So they came in and the angels were looking. God had told them about the bad things. They know. They've seen it. Then they were coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't even know what was coming to them. Many people in our world don't even know what's coming upon the world. They're just acting drama. And the Bible says, as it was in the day of Noah, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, that is how the coming of the Son of Man will be. They will be eating and drinking, marrying, giving to marriage. He said, and all of a sudden, the trumpet will come upon them. I pray that we will not be found wanting in the name of Jesus. So when they got to that point, immediately the angels were there. And Lot saw that they were going to. He said, no, you can't treat visitors that way. And Abraham had taught Lot that, because Abraham had behaved like that always. So Lot must have seen it. So he said, no, visitors, first priority. I don't know how it will feel in today's courts if they are to judge the matter that a man will give his own daughters instead of strangers. But for whatever reason, he said, let the strangers come. They said they don't want the daughters, and they want the strangers. But the strangers were not ordinary strangers. So they stretched their hands outside, and all of them, they pulled the girls, and all of them went blind. So they were groping in the dark. That's why I'm saying that people don't know who they are dealing with. They don't know who they are dealing with. This is not to scare anybody. God loves us. He cares about us. But if we leave God, we will end up in a very terrible state. Whoever leaves God, it's not punishment. It's not that God is punishing everybody. How do I put it now? The end result of ignoring light is darkness. The end result of ignoring good is evil. So he's not doing anything. It's just that you ignored him, you face whatever it is. So this is where we got to now. The Bible says they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became very tired, weary, trying to find the door. So let's go to the other verse where we are now, so that everybody understands what I'm saying. No, where we're supposed to be, 20 something, is that not? Where? Verse what? Yes. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. Hold on. And God had told the wife of Sodom, not to look back. That if you look back, whatever it is that you see is your business. You will turn to a pillar of salt. But I know that Lot's wife had attachments in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had articles in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had business she was still doing with Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know the business that some of us are doing with the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Throw off every business that drags your spiritual life. Throw off every business that drains you. Throw off every business that makes you feel like God does not matter. Leave it. You can see, you must understand, anything that takes you away from God has taken you away from your life and your source. I pray that nothing will take you away from God. Nothing will be too serious and important that you will ignore God. Your amen didn't sound louder. If I were praying and doing anointing service for favor, it would have been louder than that. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heavens. Then go ahead now. We're going to. So he overthrew those cities and the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and they grew on the ground. And what grew on the ground? But his wife, Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You have gotten born again. Nobody ever does like this and succeeds. You will have accidents. You have accidents. You are born again. He that puts his hand on the plow, the Bible says he's not supposed to do what? Turn back. If you want to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. And I don't advise you to follow Satan. I would have said, if you want to follow Satan, but please don't follow Satan, because I know what that life can be like. Make up your mind that now that you are facing front, you have no article in Sodom. Anything you think is in Sodom, you feel like the club is still beautiful, you feel like misbehaving is still there, there is nothing good in the world. Everything that is in the world is pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and all of them will end up in what? Destruction. Follow God with all your life. Follow God with all your passion. Follow God with everything that is in you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
Another reason why people do the things they do is church hurts. Some people have been hurt by church leaders, hurt by fellow church members. Maybe they gossiped you in a particular church, or they criticized somebody. Maybe you just even showed up in this church and said, make I even see whether they do like that for this place too. And you're just looking around, or you're just giving us 1 week, 1 month, or 2 months to see. Child of God, listen to me. The Bible says, surely offenses will do what? Come. Somebody must offend you. In fact, why should they not offend you when you relate with people? Why? Are you working with perfect people? Are you perfect? So you have so perfect, you have never offended anybody. You have never offended anybody. Somebody will offend you. Even the most perfect of men, even the most perfect of men that stands on the pulpit as a pastor, we have seen some fall in a very terrible state. Very terrible state. That's why the Bible says, take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he fall. So everybody's taking heed on their ground. So that's something they say, that man of God who I trusted well, see what he do, he don't fall. It's part of the gimmick of Satan to mess things up. So you will now be discouraged because of the man of God that fell. He's occupying a position that he's supposed to manage with care because there's responsibility. If he fails, I'm not looking at man. The Bible says, looking up to man of God, the author and the finisher of your faith. Is it true? I put my
faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground.
Some people draw back because of a man they were looking up to. That man fell. If you do that kind of thing, who are be? Do you know that in the scheme of things, you might even have more grace than that person? It is a humble person that God gives grace. He might be up and manifesting pride, and God brings him down. Confidence in the flesh can pull a man down. He might be good today and has tried to put confidence in the flesh and eventually falls. It does not shake my own faith in God. He is not the one that will rapture me to heaven. It is Jesus that is coming back again. Is everybody getting what I'm trying to say here right now? Talk more of my fellow human beings, brothers and sisters. As you are in service today now, it is possible that somebody has mistakenly stepped on you. So because they step on you, won't come to church tomorrow. Okay, that one is normal, small thing. They might do something bigger than that, but it's still the same thing. They step on your toes somehow. Forgive those people and move on. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He has forgiven us our sins, the many sins we committed. Look at where you are coming from. Look at the kind of life. The hell, you are supposed to have a cubicle hellfire that they will cover you and keep you there. Then God look at you and brought you out of sin and say, I love you, I will clean you, I will purge you, I will wash you, and I will not stop loving you. God has not stopped loving you. Even when the person is hurt by one church or another, God has not stopped loving that person. Why not forgive and move. It is part of the strategy of Satan to draw many people out of church in this end time, because they will enter one place. They say, I don't like where they are. How can the pastor have this kind of life? And then leave those ones. Forget that thing. Focus on your own. Do you know everybody will face their judgment? Even that pastor will be judged. Will you now allow him to draw you away? Then you lose your own soul. Then he will soon face judgment. And maybe you will just suffer loss. He will just suffer loss. Then you have denounced Jesus. God forbid. Tell your neighbor, nobody can push me out of God. Because only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul.
Satisfy
my soul. For some people, it's the mistakes you made. Maybe you were serious in church and you made a mistake. As a result of the mistake, you say, everybody in church has known me. I cannot be doing it. Forget it. They are not the ones that will judge you. The person who is judging you for the mistake you made today, where you amend your ways before God tomorrow, the person himself that is there, if he's still judging you, he's making a mistake. Because nobody can condemn the man that God has helped. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So peradventure you made a mistake, you did something bad, you did something, and everybody knows your error and they want to judge you. When you stand before God in your heart pure, you have repented of your sin. No matter the errors you had before, God will not look at your past to judge your future. Stand firm. Anybody can say anything they want to say. Forget it. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trials and storm. What height up?
He loves you. He cares about you. Forget what anybody thinks about you. You might be a prostitute before, but you have met Jesus. Let that not discourage you. You might be terrible before, you have met Jesus. Let that not discourage you. Get into service. Get into devotion. Passionately follow God.
Here in the love of Christ. Listen, a young lady got born again when we were on campus, and she was very terrible, 100 level, 200 level. Very terrible. So 300 level, she got born again, and they made her a leader. So her second semester. It was the fellow Christians that were almost attacking her. That's why we have to learn not to attack people who should not attack. You don't destroy a wounded soldier. A wounded soldier needs healing. And sometimes we are not careful to know that these people need healing. We are attacking them. Because they were attacking her, she was crying. And she ran to me. She said, Pastor, should I drop the position? I'm feeling somehow. They know about my past. They know how I used to live my life. I said, those people, their blood, one tank of their blood cannot clean your sin. But you see, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what has made me whole again? Say nothing. Nothing. Oh. That makes me white, that makes me white. No other fountain, no other fountain. Nothing, nothing. Sit up. I called the girl and I told her, I said, forget about that thing. Then she served in that position. 500 level, we graduated. As I speak today, she's very committed in the church where she's serving. Somebody would have pulled her out of Christ. The Bible says, let your word be seasoned with salt so that it bring grace to the hearer. We are not called to pull down anybody. You are called to help them grow. Even when we are preaching and scolding and disciplining people, we must bring the love dimension for them to know that God really loves them and cares about them. Because Satan is fighting very hard in this end time to drag as many as he can with apathy, drawing back, all these things that I've mentioned. Satan has a target. To close this service today, listen to me. Let me say this to you. As I wrap up the service, one of the reasons why the devil is doing all these things so that you will ghost God, he knows that when you ghost God, that means you do communication with God, nothing, we're not gisting. He knows in his heart of hearts that as soon as you do that, you will make nonsense decisions all your life until you end up in hell. Anytime people are away from God, they can't make decisions by themselves. You cannot make any... See, wisdom is in God. He's the source of wisdom. And when you follow him, the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. If Satan succeeds to draw you away from God, the first mistake you will make will even be mistake in your marriage, mistake with your putting your children in the wrong place, mistake with every all the mistakes. A person's life will be an embodiment of mistakes, and Satan will stay at one corner. The same Satan that tempted the person will stay one corner and laugh and say, at last, keep coming. Yeah, done. Mumu. You still follow me? Oh, the way the pastor preaching, you know, still here. That's how wicked that devil, that idiot is. I wrote a tract on campus many years ago, and I gave it to a fellowship. What I will do if I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I am devil. I will not spare any of you. I'll finish you. If I am the devil and I have opportunity, I will eat your children from their womb. I will frustrate you. I will do everything I can to make sure you don't know what it means to be devil. You don't know what it means to be devil. They have prepared the hellfire that he will go permanently. He does not have hope again. You know when somebody is drowning, eh? If you want to help a drowning person, you better know what you are doing, or else they will drag you, you will drown. And when the person is drowning and they know that they also want you to drown, you are finished. Satan is drowning already. His time is short. And he's going as fast as he can to get anyone that will go with him. And all the things he needs to use, he has tools, arsenals. In his armory, he has so much that he's pulling out. He will pull this out today. He will pull that strategy tomorrow. He will pull another one today. And if I were the devil too, why will not allow you? I will let you smoke it. Go smoke until all your destiny and your lung and your liver go. At 50, you'll be looking as if you are 90. I like it. Is it not okay to make you look like this when you're supposed to be younger? If I were the devil, I would look for the wrong partner. I will match you. They will beat your life, your partner beats you. You will know what it means to be a devil. So you know what I'm saying now. So is it not better to just follow somebody who says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your voice and say, Jesus, I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. We're doing this song three times. Do it from your heart. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided. I have decided. No turning back. One more time. I have decided. No man will take me off. No situation. No job, no business, no career. I will be wealthy and great, and I will serve Jesus. He will be my priority. Every other thing will follow. No devil can take me away from the hand of God. Hey, no turning back. No turning back.
No turning back.
Say goodbye, world. Goodbye, world. Yeah. Talk to God and say, Jesus, I will follow you. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to follow any other thing. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of and righteousness, he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I lay.
Oh. Christ the Lord. Darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose, and as he stands in victory, since God has left his grief on me. Life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
For lifeless Christ, no final breath.
Jesus commands my destiny. Satan has nothing on me. Satan has nothing on me. Hell, no scheme of man. Ever stand before his hand. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No scheme of man. No scheme of man. No lies on social media. No platform on YouTube. Peddling lie can snatch me. No way. I have found Jesus. I have found light. I would follow him in his word, regardless of every noise, all the days of my life. All the days of my life. No more ghosting God. I'll love you for all the rest of my life, Jesus. Can you just in 1 minute say, Jesus, I'll follow you. Jesus, I'll follow you. Regardless of whatever I've made up my mind. And I'll follow you. Thank you, Jesus. You're in service today. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You need to make a commitment to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Some of us, you believed the truth before until you started listening to many things. And because you didn't search the scripture by yourself, you were almost deceived. You have listened to many people peddling lies. And because you are isolated, nobody to join, assist, to teach you the truth. And the devil is excited, waiting. But no, he can't have you. No, not when I'm alive, God. We are sent as machineries of the kingdom to snatch men out of darkness and bring them into his marvelous light. And today you are coming in as one of us to give light to those in the dark, to brighten the path of those who cannot see. This is your calling. This is your ordination. in the name of Jesus. Do you want to accept Jesus into your heart in this service? Can you raise your hand wherever you are? I'm going to pray with you right now. I want you to raise it up boldly and say, I want to rededicate my life. I want to accept Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I refuse to listen to the lies of the devil. I will now sit down, study and learn and grow in the things of God. My business will not drag me. My career, my job, my marriage, my children, nothing will be able to take my attention off. As your hands are raised, can you say these prayers after me? Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I would follow you because you are love. I have no business with the devil because he is darkness. I embrace light now and forevermore. I am born again, saved and sanctified in Jesus' name. I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. Every wrong mindset, every ideology peddled from the pit of hell, everything that has been sold around that you are bought into unconsciously, I declare today in the name of Jesus, by the truth of God's word, you begin to get rid of those lies in the name of Jesus. The truth of God begins to fill your heart in the name of Jesus. As you yield yourself this season to the study of the word of God, I pray for you that the word of God will cause you to come alive in great measure. In the name of Jesus, you are strengthened, you are built, you are empowered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can you put your hands together, celebrate Jesus?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.